Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Tes on Beis. The last words of Amud Ik Demas Lamas Nisim. In the previous Gemara, we have learned the Machlokes of Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan regarding how to look at a hair on the hide of an animal. Are we to look at it as a shomer, or are we to look at it as a yad? Because as we've been as the Gemara has been teaching us, although both the yad and the shomer of something have the ability to import and export tuma, they don't have a shomer is mitztarif to the shear. In order for it to be tuma, there has to be at least a kveya. A shomer could be mitztarif to that shear, and a yad cannot be mitztarif to that shear. Our Gemara now begins by giving a different version of the Machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and the Reish Lakish. Vika de Masna, and there are those that explain the Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and Masnisin, regarding what we learned in our Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Ha'or, Va'roite, Va'kipa, Hide, Gravy, Sediment, Mitztarfin, L'tam, Tumas Oichon, all combined with the meat to have a shear of Tumas Eichlin, Omer Reish Lakish. So concerning our Mishnah says, Lo Shanu Ela Etzem. This was only said regarding the bone that have a shiner, and therefore it's mitzdarif av nima. When we speak about a strand of hair is not a shiner, and lo have a shiner, and it doesn't have the din that we just identified that a shiner is mitzdarif for the shear. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and he says that a filo nami nima nami had a shomer, that a nima is also to be considered a shomer. Ask the Gemara, ask the Shlokish to Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei Rishlokish to Rabbi Yochanan, Omik is shomer, Gavi shomer. He asks, how can you call a hair a shomer? This hair is on top of the hide, so isn't this considered a shomer al gabi shomer? Responds Rabbi Yochanan, chalchuli mechalchul. Where the hair goes all the way through the hide to the meat beneath it, and therefore it's considered a shomer of the meat, not just the shomer of another shomer. Maskul Rav Acha asked Rav Acha, elamato tfilon hechikasvinen. If that's what you're saying about the hair, then how could you ever write tefillin on parchment? Habinin k'siva tama v'leka. We have here a problem that the hair is going through the skin all the way through. So now you have these penetrations, you have these holes. So how could it be considered that you're writing it on a whole piece of parchment? And the Torah said that you have to write it on a whole piece of parchment. Answers the Gemara, Ishtemitze Hod Amri B'merova. He obviously forgot what was taught in the Yisrael, that Kol Nekev should divide the Yoy. If the hole is so small that the ink could pass over the hole and without noticing a crack, ain't a Nekev. It's not considered a hole. I saw that Rav Ozner, the Shalos Tshuva Shevet Alevi, and the Shalos Tshuva Tzitz Eliezer discuss what would be the halacha if the ink passes over the hole. That means you could see that the ink goes over, but when you look at the other side of the parchment, you see that the ink went through. And because you see that the ink went through, obviously there's a hole. They say lechatchila, such a parchment should not be used, but b'dieved, if the letter looks whole, it should be considered fine. But then I saw a very interesting tshuva from the Chibina Rav, and the Shalos Tshuvas Dover Mishorim, based on this Gemara. We all know that the halacha is that when we have a Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzah, each letter has to be totally separate. It has to be mukif gevil. It has to be totally separate with space around it that each letter is kept separate. And the question that was posed to the Chibina Rav And I saw that the stipler refers to the tshuva of the Bina Rav, the Sefer Karen of the Garta also, is what would be the halacha if you took a microscope, to you the letters look like they're attached, but if you took a microscope, you would see that the letters are actually not attached. What would be the halacha then? Is it considered separate, because under the microscope they're considered separate, or they seem to be separate, or we only could follow what we see with our eyes, says the Tshibina Rav, based on this Gemara, that if our Gemara now that we're learning now teaches us that all we have to do is look with what our eyes see. And with our eyes we see a whole piece of parchment, even though as the Gemara clearly teaches us, there are small holes, but the fact that we don't see those holes makes it considered one big piece of parchment. Says the Tshibina Rav, you have to go to Chumra also. And if to us it looks like these letters are attached, even though under the microscope they're not attached, the halacha is that they have to be considered halachically attached. But then I saw that the Paiskim discuss, that we know that the Gemara and the Paiskim many times consider the fact that the later generations become are physically weaker than earlier generations. And therefore, they say perhaps in the earlier generations, where their eyesight was stronger, they would have seen that these two letters are not attached. We, who our eyesight has deteriorated, need a microscope or need a magnifying glass. And therefore, maybe what's seen under the magnifying glass should be considered separate. So the Paiskim can say that, of course, most Paiskim are of the opinion we can't follow such an approach. Again, as the Tshibina Rav says, we have to follow what our eyes see. However, I did see that Rav Ozna says, we do have room for a little leniency. That doesn't mean, let's say a person has weaker eyes and he wears glasses. It doesn't mean that he has to take off his glasses to examine the Sefer Torah, and if without glasses the two letters look attached, then the Sefer Torah, the Tefillah, Mezuzah will be possible. He says that we have to follow what is considered normal eyesight. And therefore, if a person wears eyeglasses to bring his eyesight to what is considered normal eyesight for all human beings, that's not considered that he did anything extraordinary in terms of magnification, and that would be acceptable. And therefore, if he uses the magnifying glass only to achieve what's typically visible with eyes, with regular, what's considered normal eyesight, it would be considered fine. Eisei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, so now Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish, it says in the Mishnah, Or Sheshalav Kazayis Basar, and there's a piece of hide that has it in Kazayis Basar, Hanugev, it's Siv HaYotzer Menu, and somebody touches a sliver of meat that comes out from that piece of meat, of hide, or Besara Shekonegdoi, or somebody touches a strand of hair, Tomei, so you see that the strand of hair is Matama, and the Gemara suggests, My Lam Shem Shomer. So this, isn't this clearly indication that a strand of hair is considered a Shomer? So the Gemara Loi, Rish Lakish responds, it's considered a Yad, not a Shomer. Ask the Gemara, how could you consider one strand a Yad? Nima achas l'maychazi, what could you do with just one strand of hair? Answers the Gemara, k'am rebeloi b'meloi shmeloi. Just like rebeloi said in another place, we're talking about one bristle that's amongst many other bristles. Here too, we're not talking about one independent hair, but nima shem b'neim haniman. And therefore, if this hair is amongst the other hairs, it's considered a legitimate yad. Ask the Gemara, hechi etnod rebeloi. Gemara referenced Rabbi Loi about one bristle, about amongst many other bristles. Where do Rabbi Loi teach his halacha? Says the Gemara Hadatnan regarding the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamaloi Shibalim Mitamim Umitamim, the bristles of ears of grain can import and export tumma for the grain, Vemitstarfin. But they aren't considered a shomer, that they're mitzdarif for Tumas Eichlin, they're only considered a yad. And a yad is not mitzdarif, as we said at the beginning of the shiur. And there the question again was asked on that Mishnah, Meloy l'maychezir, a single bristle on top of grain, what could it be used for? Which Rabbi Loi responded, I'm Rabbi Loi, B'malayim, it's one bristle amongst many other bristles. The Mishnah continued that the roitif, the gravy combines with the meat to have tumas eichlam. Ask the Gemara, exactly my roitif, what is the roitif? Amarava shumna. It's the fat that raises to the top of the meat sauce. Amalei Abaya asks Abaya, if that's what you're saying it is, who asks me tamat tumas eichlam, so why does the Mishnah speak about it combining with tumah? It itself is real food and should have tumas eichlam. And actually the Rishonim point out that Abaya could have asked Rava that if the definition of roitif is shumna, then why does the Mishnah only speak about roitif regarding tumas eichlam? The Mishnah should have said that roitif also has tumas nevelus. So the Rishonim answer that since we find that the criteria for what should have tumas nevelus is much higher than what should have tumas eichlam, the Gemara could have said that just because it's right for tumas eichlam, it won't necessarily have that din for tumas nevelus. But the Gemara's question still remains that it certainly should have tumas eichlam. So the Gemara, Ella, is talking about chel of the karsh. It's talking about gravy that got congealed, and that gravy that got congealed is considered roitif. Actually, the Rishonim asked that we've already learned earlier that there's a concept of tam kicker. So certainly this roitif has the tam of the basar. So why shouldn't it have the din of nevela? So the Rishonim answer that the concept of tam kicker that we work with so much is only regarding hilchus issur v'heter, regarding hilchus kashrus. Here we're speaking about hilchus tuma, and tam kicker is not a factor when we speak about hilchus tuma. Ask the Gemara, Ma'ir Yekarish, why do we have to say that the chelav got congealed? Kiloi karish nami. The same halacha ought to apply when it doesn't congeal as well. Damresh lokish sir shagabayer. The juice that's on the green. And there's a Rashi gives two pshatim and what is considered the tzir shagaba yerek. One pshat Rashi suggests is that the tzir is the juice that comes out of the vegetables. Another pshat that Rashi says is that it's the juice, it's some sort of a dip that they used to dip vegetables on. Mitztarif l'kesevus b'yom kippurim, even though it's liquid. And we know that in Yom Kippur the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat. So if somebody ate vegetables with the tzir, it's considered that, and he ate the right shear, the halacha is that it's considered that he violated Yom Kippur. So we see it doesn't have to be congealed. Even when it's liquid, it combines. Answers the Gemara, we cannot compare Hilchos Yom Kippurim to anywhere else. Hasam Mishum Yisu V'datuhu. There, by Yom Kippur, the fact that the taking consideration is what puts the person at ease because he's fasting. And the halach is b'chol dehu miyas v'date. When he eats vegetables with a liquid on it, that will give him yishuv hadas. However, hocho, regarding al gemar, we're talking about Hilchos Tumah, we want to combine the liquid juice on the meat. Eat karish, so if it's congealed, it's mitzdarif. You like karish, if it's not congealed, like mitzdarif. And the Mefarshim explained, Rashi explains, that because the shiurim for liquid and the shear for solids is not the same, because the shear for a liquid is revius, the shear for a salad is a kezias. So foods with different shiurim are not mitzdarf. Other Rishonim, Ramosha discusses this in the Igros Moshe, that the reason that the roitif is not mitzdarf is because the roitif that comes out, the liquid roitif, that is not one of the shiva mashkim. And when we always speak about mashkin being mitzdarif for Hilchos Tumah, it has to be one of the seven liquids, roitiv not being one of the seven liquids. Of course, even though our Gemara is indicating that the concept of what's considered tziruf for Yom Kippur is different than what's considered for tziruf for Tumah, and therefore even liquid on top of a food could be mitzdar for the shear of a kesevis for Yom Kippur, still, the Gemara Masech the Yuma point out in Mepharshim says that if somebody Yom Kippur ate and drank, they're not mitzdar, because Chazal established that Yishuv Hadas, which is what Al Gemara just said, is the criteria to follow on Yom Kippur, isn't accomplished by somebody eating and drinking. Here, it's not that he's eating and drinking. He's eating, but the food is a larger shear, and there Chazal said that there is Yishuv Hadas. The question that comes up that the Achroyim discuss is what will be the halacha regarding the Bracha Achroyim? If somebody eats a food that has on it liquid juice, does he make a, what bracha achroina does he make on it? Is it mitzdarf to be considered a shear that he should make a bracha achroina? The Magen Avraham says that juice that's on top of a food is considered like Yom Kippur. It has the same halacha as far as Yom Kippur, and the shear would be a kazayis, not a revius. Now, even though it's liquefied, since it's on top of the food, and we know in order to make a bracha achroina on a salad food, we have to eat a kazayis, says the Magen Avraham, liquid on top of a salad is considered part of the salad. It is mitzdarif, but you have to have a kazayis. The Chai Odom disagrees, and the Chai Odom says that since Al Gemara said that this is a unique halacha strictly regarding Yom Kippur, only by Yom Kippur is it mitzdarif, not regarding any other, only regarding Yom Kippur is it mitzdarif, not regarding any other halacha. The Mishnah Brura quotes the opinion of the Magen Avraham that the tzir that's on top of a food is considered oichel, and therefore it's mitzdarif to the shir kazayis. There's an interesting tshuva from the Satmar Rebbe in the Shalos Tshuvos Divrei Yoel that says it depends what kind of tzir it is. Because if we recall a moment ago, when we started this piece of Gemara, we quoted the opinion of Rashi, that Rashi says that there are two types of tzir. There's tzir that comes out of the meat, says Rashi, and this tzir that is an outside dip that one dips the vegetables in. So the Satmar Rebbe wants to make the following distinction. The tzir that is juice that comes out of the vegetable, there, says the Satmar Rebbe, the shear is, there we say that the tzir is combined with the food to be considered oichel, because it is part of oichel. It's juice that came out, it's liquid that came out of the vegetable. But when we speak about the other type of tzir, which is tzir that's just a dip, in which they put different vegetables as a dip, since that dip isn't naturally part of the vegetable, that tzir, says the Satmar Rebbe, will not combine with the vegetable itself for the shear kazayis. Continues the Gemara. Akipa, the Mishnah spoke about the sediment that combines with the meat to have tumas oichlin. Ask them on my kippa, amarava firma. It's pieces of meat that fall to the bottom of the pot. Ask the Gemara if we're saying that it's pieces of meat that fall to the bottom of the pot. Amar Abaya, who asked me, tamu tumas oichlin. So that's full-fledged food. And Vada should be metam to Mesoichlin. El Amara Papa, Tavlin, it's the spices that are used to spice the meat that remain in the pot. And the Gemara again says that that could combine with the meat. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam. The Mishnah said, even though it says Tanan Hossam, the Rishonim point out that this is a Braisa. Hikfes Adam. If somebody hardened blood through heating it, and ate it. So Rashi says that's referring to a situation that a person just cooked the blood and that's how it became hard. Tosfos disagrees with that pshat, because Tosfos says that if somebody cooked the blood, it would be fall into the category of dam shebishloi. And we've learned many times that dam shebishloi is not osim b'daraisa. And therefore Tosfos says that here we're referring to situations to we're referring to a situation where he did it through the sun, And that's why it's not considered cooked. And it would not fall into the category of dam shebishlam. Tosfos goes on to say that why would we think, the Tosfos HaRosh goes on to say, why would we think that if one hardened the blood, he shouldn't be chayiv? So Tosfos HaRosh says, because since that's not the normal way of eating blood, normally blood is ingested when it's a liquid, so that's why the Pasuk has to teach us, that's why the Gemara has to teach us, that even when it's hardened, you're chayiv eating dam. Or shehimches achayiv, if somebody dissolved chayiv the gomoy, and he ate it, and here we're going to see later in the Gemara, it's specifically in a case where it was liquefied through the sun, through heat, through fire, not through the sun. So Tosfos says it's very interesting. By the dam, it has to be specifically through the sun, and by the chaylev, it has to be through specifically because of the fire. The halacha is chayiv. He's chayiv for eating dam or chaylev. Says the Gemara. Bishlam hikves adam va'achloi. I can understand the halacha if somebody hardened blood and ate it. Kiven the akve, once he hardens it, achshuve. He makes it choshev. And therefore, even though, as we said, it's not the normal way of eating blood, blood is normally eaten as a liquid, it's still enough that it should be chayiv. Elohim chesachel of a gomoy, but ask the Gemara, if it's referring to why when somebody liquefied the chaylev, is he chayiv? Achilah k'sidei. The Torah says achilah regarding the isur chaylev. Bo'alav achilahi. This is not considered eating. Answers the Gemara. Amr shlokish. Amr kra. The Torah uses the words nefesh. The Torah, when it speaks about chaylev, says the words v'nichreso ha-nefesh ha-yecheles mi'amel. The Torah, by using that word, is trying to teach us the rabbis of Sashoisa, that even drinking any way that your nefesh has satisfaction, you're over the avera and you're chayif. Says the Gemara, Tanya nami hachi gabe chomitz kai gavna. There's a similar braisa regarding chomitz. The braisa says, chimcha begomoy, if somebody dissolved a grain product and swallowed on a Pesach, im chomitzu, if it's considered, if it's chametz, onish karas, his chayiv karas. In matzahu, if somebody had matzah which he liquefied, the halacha is en adam yotzei b'chayiv kavasa Pesach. It can't be yotzei b'chayiv matzah on Pesach. So the Gemara again explains: bishlam matzah en adam yotzei b'chayiv kavasa Pesach. When it's matzah, somebody's not yotzei b'chayiv on Pesach because lechem oni am rechem oni. The Torah, when it speaks about matzah, says lechem oni. V'hai lechem oni. If it's not whole, if it's not a solid, it's not considered lechem oni. Ella im chametz u'anish karis. But if it's chametz, yichayv karis. Achilak sebei. But why doesn't the Torah say achila? So Tosfos asks, What does that mean? Tosfos asks. But we know that in Pesach, you're not allowed to have hanor from chametz. So therefore, ask Tosfos, you should certainly be chayiv for having hanor, even if you liquefy the chametz. Answers Tosfos, that for having hanor from chametz on Pesach, there is no chayiv karis. And our Gemara is saying that if you liquefied chametz, you chayiv karis. So the Gemara wants to know, from where do you get the chayiv karis? Answers the Gemara, the same Torah as we had before, Amr Shlokish, Amr Kra. The Torah says the word Nefesh, L'Rabbis is a Shoysa, to come to teach us the din of Shoysa. So our Gemara teaches us that if one takes matzah and liquefies it, it's not considered Lechem Oini. Tosfos points out that even without the Pasuk, even without the pasuk of lechem oini, the halacha would be the Gemara could have said, taught us that you can't be yotze with liquefied matzah, because the Torah says be'erif toichlu matzis, and since achila means when it's whole, when it's not whole, it's not considered, you can't be yotze the mitzvah. However, the Torah's chayim makes a distinction between Isurim and Mitzvahs. He says the reason somebody who melts and drinks non-kosher food, other than chaylev, because the Gemara just put a special limit for chaylev, is exempt from malchus, is not that the Torah means achila, means eating rather than drinking, because he says b'chol ha-Torah kula, we know shti is b'chol achila. Rather, the term achila means eating kederach hanoah, in a normal way of eating, and since food is not eaten this way, salad matzah is not eaten this way when it's a salad, therefore it's not considered kederach hachanosoi. However, says the Taras Chaim, that is only a concept regarding Isurim. When we speak about mitzvahs, there is no such a concept. And he brings a raya, because the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, bala matzah yotza. If somebody swallows a whole matzah without chewing it, he still is mekayim the matzah. Even though he obviously didn't have any hanor from the matzah. Because, as the Taras Chaim explains, we have a rule, mitzvah slav lahenis nitnu. So even though he just swallowed the whole matzah whole and certainly didn't enjoy it, he doesn't have to enjoy the mitzvah. So therefore, just like somebody who swallows a whole matzah is yoytzah, somebody who drinks his matzah would be yoytzah, if not for the special pasuk of Lachem Oini. The Noi de Behuda disagrees, and he says that the fact that the halacha is bala matzah yotzah has nothing to do with the halacha of shloi kederach achila, because he says swallowing a large piece of matzah is not that unusual. Secondly, he says achila connotes eating and not drinking. And even without the pasuk of Lechem Oini, we would know that one who purees his matzah and drinks it would not be yotzah. It's very interesting. I saw from the Kozmog Rebbe, based on this Taras Chaim, that Taras Chaim is teaching us that whenever the Torah uses the word achila, and it's based on Toisus, it means eating. That's what Toisus said, b'erech toichel matzahs. And if you didn't chew it, it's not considered eating. So he explains, that's what Adam HaRishon said to Hashem after Chava fed him from the Eitzim Das. He said, Isha asher nasati modi nosan liva oichel. He says, I didn't chew the food. Chava deposited the fruit from the Eitz Hadas directly into my mouth. So since I never chewed it, it went directly in. It's not considered for oichel. It's not considered that I ate it. And he therefore says to defend himself to Hashem, why are you angry? Regarding the halacha lemaisa about matzah on Pesach, so the Mishnah Berurah discusses a number of halachas. Of course, the halacha is that one should eat the matzah in the normal fashion. But let's say a person has a problem chewing the matzah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if somebody, you have to be careful not to crumble the matzah, to keep the matzah whole. Furthermore, if you soak it in water, you could only soak it for so long that the water doesn't change colors because of the matzah soaked in it. But if you soak it, even a whole piece of matzah, for so long that the water gets discolored because of the matzah, then you could be lenient. Furthermore, they say that you should only soak it, the Paiskim say it should only be soaked in cold water, not in hot water. And then most Paiskim are of the opinion that even this, that you soaked it whole in cold water and it didn't change the color, it's only in water, but we should not be lenient in terms of soaking it in other types of liquids, in wine or in soup or in other types, it should be strictly in water. Continues the Gemara regarding the halachas of liquefied food. Says the Gemara, "V'tanya nami gavin nevelos oif tarkei gavna." We know that the halacha is, there's a unique halacha regarding the nevelos oif tar, that as soon as it comes into someone's base hablia, then and only then is a metama. Says the Braisa, "Himchor ba'or," if somebody dissolved the nevelos oif tar over a fire, it still remains tamei. Bechama, but if he did it in sun, it's tahor. Vavinaba, and we ask, Achila Ksabe. The Torah uses the word Achila. V'chol nefesh, asher toichel nevela, v'chibas begad of rach, v'mayim v'tamei and ar v'tar. So don't we see from here that it's regarding Achila? I'm in Resh Lakish, I'm a craw, nefesh, the rabbis of Sashaisa. Again, the Torah says, nefesh, to add that even if it was liquefied, the same halacha applies. Ask the Gemara, Yehaka b'chaminami, so what's the difference if it was liquefied in the sun or in the heat, and over fire? Answer, the Gemara b'chama is Sruchim Asra. If it's liquefied over in the sun, it gets spoiled, and therefore it's not considered anymore a Nevelas of Tor, and since it's not considered anymore a Nevelas of Tor, the halachas wouldn't apply. There's an interesting Asra in the Raisa. We've discussed many times this unique halacha that exists by Nevelas of Tor, that person only becomes Tameh when it comes into his Beis Abliya. And the Asman the Raisa, and I think we've quoted this previously, has questioned what type of Tumah is this. Is this a Tumah Smaga? There's a unique halacha that it's only Metama Tumah Smaga when it's touching your Beis Abliya, not touching any other part of the body? Or is it considered a Tumah Sachila? And this Gemara seems to be clearly indication that it's a Tumah Sachila, not a Tumah Smaga. Furthermore, the Rishonim debate, at what point is it considered a Sruchim Mesra? Some say it's already considered a Sruchim Mesra from the point that it's not edible by human beings. Others say that it has to be so a Sruchim Mesra to the degree that it's not edible only by a caliph, it's not royal Achilles caliph. So the Torah has just taught us the word Nefesh. The Gemara has just quoted the word Nefesh three times to teach us the halacha that liquefied food had the same halacha. Ask the Gemara Tzrichi, why does the Torah have to say it three times? Because Rachman Chalif, had the Torah only taught this halacha by Chalif, Chametz lo asum minei, we cannot learn Chametz from Chalif, Shekein lo hos lo shas ha-kosher. Chalif never had a shas ha-kosher, whereas Chametz, we know before Pesach, has a shas ha-kosher. We learned earlier in our Masechta that while the animal was in its mother's womb, you could eat the chalif. So, what are we saying that the chalif never has a shas ha-kosher? So Rishonim explained, chametz in its present state had a shas ha-kosher because it only becomes asur on Pesach, whereas chalif in its present state, when the animal is not anymore in its mother's womb, never had a shas ha-kosher. Nevela loyos minei, and nevela cannot be learned from chalif, she can't onish karish. Chalif carries the stricter punishment of karish, which chalif does not. Because rachman chametz, had the Torah only taught us this halach by chametz, chalif loyos minei, we can never learn chalif from chametz, she can't loy hutum echlola. Chametz is never mutter on Pesach, chalif is mutter, as we're going to see by a chalif. The nevela loyos minei, and neither could we learn nevela from chametz, she can't chonish karis. Since chametz carries with it chiyuv karis, and nevela does not. Because rachmanan ben nevela, had the Torah only taught us this halacha by nevela, hanach loyos minei, we cannot learn chalif and chametz from nevela, she can't matama. Because nevela has the special chumra that it's matama, that's why maybe liquefied nevela is more chumra. So the Gemara persists. Chad mechad aloyasya. Indeed, we can learn one from the other. But ask the Gemara, why still did the Torah have to say this halacha three times? Tesi chad matanti. Let's learn one from two. Ask the Gemara, hey Tesi, exactly which two do you want? Lo alach the rechmanah benevela. Do you want that the Torah should not have said the halacha benevela, the tesi mahanach, and we should learn from chalif and chametz? That couldn't work. Because ma'alahanach, she can't onish karis. Both chalif and chametz have a chiv karis, nevela does not. Loi lich the rechmanah b'chametz. Should the Torah not have written that by chametz or teis mahanach? We can learn chametz from the others. Ma'alahanach, the other ones, lahos lan shas ha-kosher, never had a shas ha-kosher, whereas chametz had a shas ha-kosher. Loi lich the rechmanah b'chalif. Should the Torah not have written b'chalif the teis mahanach? Ma'alahanach, shekein lehutah b'chlolon. These chametz and nevela are never mutter. Time of a chalif, Shut mechlala, there is a case by chaylev where it becomes mutter. Ask the Gemara, mind you, what is the case that you want to say that chaylev is mutter? Ilay mechaylev behemah lo gavaya, that when we bring a carbon from a behemah, the chaylev is brought on the mizbeach. Nevela nami. So ask the Gemara, Nevela also, we have an example. So then what are you saying that Chelev is strictly Hutta Mechlola? Nevela is also Hutta Mechlola. Because Ishtaroi Malikas Oichbel Nevela. We know that normally, how is a bird, a kosher bird, supposed to be killed? It's supposed to be killed through Shechita. But the birds in the Beis HaMikdash were killed through Malika. If we were to kill a bird to eat with Malika, that bird would be a Nevela. Yet here, it's not considered a Nevela. So it's very interesting to point out, and we've discussed this also. When we speak about a bird in the Beis HaMikdash being killed through Malika, so there's two ways of understanding what Malika accomplishes. Either we can understand that the Malika is the Shechita in the Beis HaMikdash on Oifis, or we could understand that Malika is of course not a Shechita. Shechita is only Shechita, and Malika is not Shechita. Rather, the Torah says that this is a Nevela that may be eaten. So the Achronim bring a ride from this Gemara to the second way of understanding Malika, that it's a Nevela, but the Torah says that this may be eaten. You know where Chaylev has Hutta Mechlola? Because Chaylev only applies by Behemoth, not by Chayis. Ask the Gemara, Nevela Nami, Ishtaroi Malika de Chatas Oif L'Kahanim. As we just said, that a bird, a Chatas Oif that's brought as a carbon, is killed through Malika, and the Kahana may eat it. So, why are you saying that only Chaylev is Hutta Mechlola, and not Nevela? Answers the Gemara says, our answer is correct. Loilam Chaylev Chayel Hegit. Udu Kakash Lo Kahanam. I, we said that there is a case that Kahanam are allowed to eat a Nevela. Answers the Gemara, the Kahanam aren't eating Nevela. Kahanam is Shokhan Kavari Kazachu. They're not eating the meat that they're allowed to eat. Normally, if you would kill a bird with Malika, certainly a Kohen would not be allowed to eat it. There is a special halacha that getting the food from the Mizbeach, and it's not considered that Nevela has a heter. Ask the Gemara, Vahada Tanya, but the Braisa says, regarding the Shemayim Shrotzim, Hatmeim, Leset Sirom, Veroitvim, that the juice and the gravy, the kippishlem, and the sediment are all asur lomeli. Why does the Torah have to have a special din for the juice of a sheretz, ligma mahani? Why, we just finished learning that the three places where the Torah teaches us the din, that juice is considered like the salad, chametz, nevela, and chaylev, answers the Gemara, tzrichi. We still need the halacha by sheretz. Dila kas rachmana, if the Torah wouldn't have written this halacha by Shrotzen, haba mina daya lova mina din liyas kanida. We always learn from the source. Ma hosom ad ike kazayis. Just like there, it's not considered that it's not the shir is a kazayis. If we were to learn Shrotzen from chaylev, nevelev, and chometz, the shir would also have to be at av hokanami ad ike kazayis. And yet we know by the shear by sheretz is much smaller, even by Yadasha. That's why the Torah had to say a special limud for shrut. So it's a very beautiful vart for the Baal Shem. Our Gemara just quoted the din, a dialogue min adin liyas kanida. We always learn from the source. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, halayim v'chaver perag echad, oy halach echad, oy pasuk echad, oy dibra echad, if you learn from your Rebbe even just one halacha, one word, you have to show respect to the Rebbe. She came with Sina B'Dovra Melech, Shle Lomim Machitoifel, Ela Shle Dvarm Bulvat. Dovra Melech learned from Machitoifel two halachas, and Karei Rabbi Alufa Midari, and he called him his Rebbe. So the Mishnah continues, if David, who learned from Machitoifel, who was such a Rasha, only two halachas, and he called him his Rebbe, so too by everyone else. So Baal Shem asked the obvious question. If our Gemara says, Dai Lovam in Adin, Liyas Kanidin, we always have to look at the source. Here the source was that he learned two halachas from Achitayfel. So the halacha should be that you only consider your Rebbe if you learn two halachas. And yet this very Mishnah says that as soon as you learn one halacha, he's considered your Rebbe. So Baal Shem says a beautiful word. We just said Achitofel was a Rasha. When you learn Torah from a Rasha, so the Torah you learn is the Torah. But that Torah won't have the ability to grow, to expand. And therefore the halacha is, says the Mishnah, that in order for somebody to be your Rebbe, you have to learn at least two things. If you learn from a Rebbe who's a Rasha, like Achitofel, you have to learn at least two things for him to be considered your Rebbe. Whereas, says the Baal Shem, if you learn from a Chashver Rebbe, who's not a Rasha, but him, even if you learn one halacha, that one halacha you're going to learn from your Rebbe will ultimately multiply and expand, and won't remain one halacha. And therefore, indeed, the Mishnah is able to say that even if you learn just one halacha, one ois, from a Rebbe who's a tzaddik, you're obligated to consider him your Rebbe and respect him. Ask the Gemara, V'lichta Rechman v'shrotzim, so the other way, why doesn't the Torah teach us this halacha by shrotzim? V'laisa hanap v'ligma renayu, and we should learn all the other halachas from shrotzim. Shemde ikra l'mifrach, because we have a question, obviously, ma'ala shrotzim, she came to Mosan, she came to Masan Mashu, their Tumah is only the Mashu, everything else is, all these other things are Shia Kazais. Obviously, there are other reasons that we Rishonim say, well, we couldn't have learned it from Shrotzim, because Chometz has a Shasa Kosher, and Shrotzim do not, and Chalev is Hutim Chlola, and Shrotzim are not. The Gemara's question, the Rishonim say, is actually regarding on the veil. Ask the Gemara, Vadatan, it says in the Braisa, Hateva, which is produce from which Truma wasn't removed. Hachadosh, it's the new produce before the second day of Pesach. The Hegdish, the Shvius, Vaklayim, Kulam Mashkim, Ayotzman, Kamoisim. By all of them, the liquid that comes out from them are treated like they themselves. Menola, from where do we notice halacha? Vichitayim, Ligma Mahanach. If we're going to say, let's learn it from all these various sources that we've been learning in our Shir, the liquid has the din like the salad. Malahanach, Shekin Isabah Melefu. All the examples that we're given are isurim that are automatically. So tenuch, so indeed, heich de isabah me'ilov, something that comes by itself, we could learn from these various other places. Heich de lad isabah me'ilov menolah. So Rashi says, what is an example, lad isabah me'ilov, and this is that doesn't come by itself? Hegdish. Because hegdish, we make hegdish. The other Mishnah say that klayim, also we make the klayim. And others say, Tevel also, because it's not Chayiv and Meiser until we finish processing the food. Answer the Gemara, Gaminim and Bikurim. We learn from Bikurim, and the person is the one that designates the fruit as Bikurim. Ask the Gemara, Bikurim, Gefai, Menola. And by Bikurim, how do we know that this is the halacha, that liquid is considered like solid? Answer the Gemara, the Tana, Rav Yosef Pri. The Pasuk says, regarding Bikurim, Vilkatum, Rech, Kol, Pri, Adomach, Ashtovim Atzecha, Asher Hashem Alekecha Noisen Loch, Priyat the Mevi, Mashka. You bring the fruit, not Mashka. However, continues the Braisa, Hege Anovim Dorch Menayim, how if you brought grapes and you squeeze them, Tamaloy Metovi, that even if you squeeze them, Ichayiv. So the Rishonim explain that first you have to be Magdish them when they're whole, but once you Magdish them when you're whole, then even if you squeeze them, it's fine. The Rishonim also, the Chasam Sofer also discusses, do you say Mikra Bikurim when you bring in the oil or grape or the wine form? And he says that if that was your original intention, then you would even do Mikra Bikurim. Ask the Gemara, Ikla Mifrach, how can we learn all other subjects from Bikurim? Ma'ala Bikurim, she came to an Kuriya V'anocha. There's a special halacha that Bikurim has to be put down next to the Mizbeach, and there's a special parsha that's read. El Gomer Mitruma. So the Gemara, you're right, we can't learn from Bikurim, we learn from Truma. Ask the Gemara of the Truma Gufa Manola, how do we know that this is the halacha by Truma, that liquid has the same halacha as the solid? This is with Truma. This is with Bikurim, because Truma is compared to Bikurim. Domamar, the Truma is Yotcha, Eile Bikurim. So just like the Bikurim has this halacha, so too Truma. Ask the Gemara, Mala Truma, how can we learn all these other halachas from Truma? She can't allow Chayovin la Misva Chaymish. If a non-client eats Truma, he's Chayiv Misva De Shemaim, and he has to give a Chaymish. There is no such halacha by these things. Says the Gemara, El Gomer Metavayim Truma Bikurim. We learn it from a Tzad Shava of Truma Bikurim combined. Ask the Gemara, that doesn't work better. Mala Truma Bikurim, she can't Chayovin la Misva Chaymish. So Rishayim asked, what would the Gemara's having here? We just spoke about Misva Chaymish. Rishonim say, since the Torah never says explicitly by the Kurim that if a non-client eats the Kurim, he's chayiv misa v'chaymish, so that's why the Gemara thought it would be a legitimate tzad shava. But then the Gemara turns around and says, at the end of the day, the Kurim has this chumrah, as does truma misa v'chaymish, and therefore we can't learn anything from truma and bikurim. Ella says, the Gemara, asking the truma mechamehanef, we learn a combination of truma and either chaylev, chometz, nevelu, shrotzim, or bikurim, v'chad mehanach, or from a combination of bikurim and one of the other subjects, chaylev, chometz, nevelu, and shrotzim, that we said that the liquid has a din like the salad. Says the Gemara, v'hodetnam, this is what we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Trumas, devash tamarim, if a non-client eats date honey, v'yayin techpuchim, apple cider, v'chometz, astonius, vinegar of grapes, v'shamei peris, or other fruit juices, shal truma, Rabbi Elazar mechayev kem v'chaymish, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Ask the Gemara b'maiklagi, what is the basis of machlokes? Answer the Gemara, b'dom mino mino, u'mino mino v'ukbasra. There's a question, whatever we learn in gzeirah shava, how do we look at the gzeirah shava? Do we say dom mino mino? Once we learn the halacha from the source, we could proceed to expand it all the way, or do we say that since we're learning from the source, the subject that we learn from the source has to be limited to the halachas that we learn from the source. The Rabbi Sava, Domina Mina. We learned the halacha of Bikurim, of Truma from Bikurim. And by Bikurim we just finished learning, Ma Bikurim Mashna Yotzman Kamaisim, that the liquid that comes out has the din like the salad, Af Truma Nam Mashna Yotzman Kamaisim. So too will be the halacha of Truma. Umina, and we continue. Ma bikurim afil sharminim. When we speak about the bikurim, it means from all seven zayiminim from which bikurim are brought. Af truma nami afil sharminim. Even though Rashi points out that all these different liquids that were mentioned in the Mishnah that we just quoted are not mechuyev in truma b'daraisa, doesn't make a difference. Rashi says we're learning even the rabbanim. Taisus takes a different approach, and Taisus says that we can learn the halacha of Truma Derabonan from Bikurim Daraisa. And here we're talking, and therefore Taisus says that when we're expanding it by Truma, we're talking about liquefied grain, which will also have this thing. Rabbi Shimon Sava Domino, Ma Bikurim Mashka Yotzman Kamaisan, Af Truma Mashka Yotzman Kamaisan, Vukav Asrin, Ma Mashkin Dekachim Truma. Just like the mashkin that could be brought as truma are only tirush v'yitzer. Tirush v'yitzer in mida v'chirin aloy. Af mashkin ha'yotzman k'maysam, the halacha that the liquid has a din like the salad is strictly by tirush v'yitzer, by wine and oil, mida v'chirin aloy. Ask the Gemara, v'had etnan, it says in the Mishnah Masechta Tmura in Trumas, ein mevim b'kurim mashkin, we can't bring b'kurim as a liquid. Ela yotzman azesim na'anot. Man, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Shuhi. It obviously reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shua. Domino v'ukba asra. That just like the truma, it's specifically oil and wine that have the din of truma even when they're a liquid. So too will be bikurim, the gomla bikurim v'truma, that's strictly by wine and an oven, by oil and grape and wine, will there be halacha that liquid bikurim is considered bikurim nowhere else? Ask the Gemara, v'hodetna, ein sofin esaboy mishum arlo, one doesn't get malchus for eating arlo juice, ela yoytz min azaysim in an oven, only by a olive or grape tree. Mani, Rishua, he again says the Gemara reflects the opinion of Rishua, domidom minavuk v'asra, v'gomel el bikurim v'mitruma, and just like by bikurim and truma we're learning that it's only by grapes and olives, are the Laisle Ola pre-prima Bikurim. So first we learn Bikurim from Truma, that it means strictly Tirish V'Yitzar. And then we go a step further, says the Gemara, we learn Arla from Bikurim, that only liquid, grape, only wine and olive oil is the only liquid for which there would be a chiyuv malchus for eating Arla.